Because like, God wants to be with us. God wants to have fellowship with us. God wants us to be in relationship with Him. Amen? Praise God. So if you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to 1 Timothy 4, chapter 16. तपाईहरुले बाइबल ल्याउनु भएको छ भने 1 तिमोथी 4 को 16 मा हेर्नुस् 1 तिमोथी 4:16 1 तिमोथी 4:16 And this is what he says. The scripture is there as well. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Let me read that again. Keep a close watch on yourself. Everyone say on yourself. On yourself. And on the teaching. And on the teaching. Persist in this. For by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And this is what he says in NIV version. Watch your life. First thing, watch your life. And the second thing, and your doctrine. Persevere in them, because if we do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And these were the words of Paul to Timothy. And Timothy is a young man. He's a young man of God. He's passionate for God. He loves God. But on his journey, he's discouraged. On his journey, he's got this passion within him. He wants to do the work of God. Yet the people around him aren't feeling the same passionate as he is. And hence the reason why Paul is a bit discouraged. He's a bit disappointed. He's a bit upset. Sorry, Timothy is a bit upset. So Paul writes to Timothy. Here, Timothy, I know you're a passionate man of God. I know you want to do this. I know you want to do all of that. But more than that, present yourself in a manner where people will see God working in you and working through you. So in a sense, in other words, what Paul is actually saying to Timothy, Timothy, you've got the words, yes. You've got it all, yes. But more than that, now live a life that will actually honor God. Not just your lip service, but now actually live a life where now God is seen, not through your words, but through your actions. Amen? And that's the place where God wants you and me to be today, where we not just confess that Jesus is Lord, but our heart is pouring out and confessing that Jesus is Lord as well. Not just with our mouth, but with actually our actions. God wants us to be in fellowship with Him. God wants us to be in relationship with Him. And so, first and foremost, Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, listen, my son, listen. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young in faith. But be an example in purity. And the list goes on and on and on and on. But more than that, Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, guard your life. Present yourself in a manner. Present yourself in a way where people will see God through your actions. Be that change in your community where people would want to be around you because you are the positive man. That's what Paul is saying in a more modern language. So there are loads of things. And I'm sure that most of us are really good at memorizing verses. If someone tells us, what scripture is, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall have eternal life. John 3:16. We're so good at memorizing verses. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Now, we love these verses, don't we? For it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Galatians 5:1. We like to memorize all these verses. We want to learn all these verses. But more than that, God is now actually wanting to see us put ourselves in that position where the word not only becomes word, but now the word becomes an action. Where the words not only are words, but now the words become an action. So God wants us to act. Andrew has been teaching us for the last few weeks about actually being that person who is on the go all the time. Go for Jesus. Go for mission. Go to do the God's work. So it's actually about going. Not only just memorizing the scriptures, not only just quoting the scriptures, but actually living a life where we honor God through our actions as well. And there are a few things that I want to bring out today, which I believe that will help us for us to grow in Christ and for us to grow together as one body of Christ. Amen? And before I share this, I just want to challenge every one of us that I think it's time for a change in terms of our behavior, in terms of the way we see God as. Because God is beyond bigger than our perception. God is bigger than what we see Him as. Because in our heads, we put God inside this box. And God wants to take ourselves outside of this box and show us who really is. And so God really wants to do something within our lives. So I really want to encourage us that as I bring this word, let's just open up our hearts to God. Let's just believe that God is going to speak to us. Amen. Because most of the time, God does not speak to us because we don't allow God to speak to us. And most of the time, God speaks to us because we allow Him to speak to us. It's that simple. And the reason why we don't hear from God, because we don't give Him time to speak to us. Because we spend so much time praying to Him, saying, God, I want this, I want that. Amen. See you later. That's our prayer, isn't it? But God wants us to actually be in His presence so that He can minister to us, so that He can speak to us. So I want to encourage every one of us, as I'm bringing this word, let's just have that open heart towards God. And let's just, in a sense, let me be careful when I say this. Let's just take this moment as God speaking to us directly rather than me speaking to you. Because I believe that God can use anyone. If God can use a donkey, then God can use this donkey as well. Amen. Amen. God is good. So my first point is treat people well. Amen. Treat people well. And it says in Luke 6, verse 31. Luke 6, verse 31. Luka choko ektis. It says, treat others the way you want to be treated. Treat others. This is me simplifying the whole Bible language. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And I think we live in a generation, we live in a world where people are so compelled to actually present themselves in this world as a person or any sort of people who wouldn't want to back down or anything in that sense, where we've got this element of pride within us that holds us back. And if someone is throwing stone at us, what do we want to do? We want to throw a stone back at them. So in other words, we live in a generation where we are so competitive in terms of what we do. So if one person is dressing good, I'm going to dress good as well. If one person is earning a lot of money, I want to earn a lot of money as well. And we live in a world where we are shaped by the media. We live in a world where we are shaped by the culture of the world, that in a sense we conform to the patterns of the world so that we could fit in the world. Whereas that's not what the Word of God tells us to do. The Word of God tells us, do not conform to the patterns of the world, but actually be yourself. Amen. Being ourselves is the hardest thing to do. Because in a world where everybody wants to fit in, everybody wants to be part of the crowd, and it's really hard to be unique, it's really hard to be different. So first of all, what I want to challenge every one of us to do is to actually be ourselves wherever we go to. Because that's what God wants to use. God wants to use the real you and me, not the fake you and me. God wants to speak to the real you and me, not the fake you and me. So in a sense, it doesn't matter how many times or however we play the church game, God is still watching us, and God knows the real us. And to me, that is challenging. So as much as I present myself to you guys as this perfect man of God, I really am not. There are things within me that I hate. There are things within me that I know it's not from God. And on that daily basis, I have to challenge myself every day. I have to check my heart every day, saying, Daniel, what are your motives when you do this? What do you really want out of this? Because in a sense, ministry can be very self-persuasive. The people actually sometimes do ministry for their own personal gain. And in the same sense, Christianity could be very selfish Christianity as well. It can almost be a thing where we go to bank only when we need money. Similarly, we go to God only when we need something from God. Wow. And I don't want my relationship to be a selfish relationship with God. And I have to challenge myself on a daily basis. Who is God to me? Who is God to me? Treat people well. And I think in a sense, if we want people to treat us with compassion, what's the first thing we should do? We should treat others with compassion. If someone wants to treat us with love, what's the first thing we should do? We should treat others with love. If someone is getting angry at us, do we get angry at them as well? No. We treat them with love anyways. And I think that is the hardest thing, and that's probably one of the most challenging things ever. It's not going to get any challenging than that. If someone's ready to throw a stone at you, how are you going to react? If someone's going to say abusive words at me, how am I going to react? If someone's ready to throw a punch at me, how am I going to react? Of course, I need to self-defense in that. But in the same sense, our response, that's a challenge for us. Because the Word of God says that respond in love, because God is love. Do everything out of love, the Word of God says. Because love is the greatest of all. Love, that's the Word of God. And to us, it's challenging. And it can be very hard. Not sometimes, but all the times. It is hard all the time. Christianity isn't easy. It's never going to be easy. But do you know what? It's worth it. Because in our storms, we find that calmness in Jesus. Because in our storms, we find Him. In our difficulties, He is our peace. Amen? So whenever people treat you badly, treat them well anyways. Because it's always been about you and God. When people throw abusive words at you, treat them well anyways. Because that is one of the greatest commandments we could do. Love your enemies. Love your neighbors. It's all about love. Loving them, loving them, loving them. If people hate you, hey, everyone hates us. But love them anyways. That's the best we could do. Jesus is great and Jesus is love. Amen. That is the golden rule. Do to others what you want to be done to you. Treat others well. My second point. Look after yourself. Look after yourself. Because so many times we overdo stuff in that sense. And we don't realize that we're actually burning ourselves out. And I was reading a book lately, and I was looking at different documentaries and that. And most of the time we don't realize, but it's good that we give our body a day rest a week at least. Because we don't realize that we've got all this energy within us and we're running with it. But sooner or later, we're going to fall into this whole realm of depression and anxiety if we don't give ourselves rest. It's true. And that's why the Word of God says rest. Jesus had to rest. Because it was becoming too overwhelming for Him. Before He went to the cross, what was His resting place? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it wasn't easy. It was painful. He was sweating blood. And that was His rest. It's hard to rest because sometimes, because I'm the kind of person, I'm always on the go, that's me. I always like to stay active. I always like to do things. So when I tell myself, Daniel, rest, I struggle with that big time. I'm like, what is rest? I struggle with it big time. And I struggled with it for the last few years. But God has really been challenging me about the whole thing about rest. Because I'm the yes person. And if I say no to someone, I feel guilty. I'm like, oh, why did I say no? I feel guilty. And I think in a sense, we need to learn to operate from a place where we become guilt-free and we understand our priorities. Yes. And our priority is our well-being in God. That is our first and foremost priority. Because we can serve. If our well-being, if our body is in a good condition, we can serve God forever. But if we're not looking at our body, we won't be in that long journey with God. Because we need to keep ourselves fit. We need to find something where we sort of like rest ourselves. Amen? Look after yourself. And it's in the Bible, from the book of Genesis as well. On the seventh day, what did God do? He rested. So there are like 7 days in a week, and one day is your rest. And if we don't need to be guilty about it, just rest. That's your day. Just rest. I think for me as well, it's so important for me to rest, because when I don't rest, I can easily get very grumpy. And when I'm grumpy, I'm grumpy. My parents know. So I can't lie. When I'm grumpy, I'm very grumpy. So that's why I need to keep myself right, to have this right attitude within me all the time. I need to keep myself calm and I need to give myself a good day rest. Amen? Rest a day. And my third point is learning the art of self-encouragement. Learning the art of self-encouragement. And there's a scripture in 1 Samuel verse 30, chapter 30, verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And this is the story of David. And this is what the Word of God says. And David was greatly distressed. I mean, he was distressed. He was just running away from lots of people. There was lots of chaotic things going on in his life. We always think about the good things about David and the good things that was happening in David's life. But sometimes when we look at the Bible clearly and read for what he's actually speaking to us about, David was in distress. He was struggling big time. And he even wrote Psalms like, "My soul, why are you troubled?" I mean, he was troubled. He was distressed. He was disappointed. There was lots of things going on in his life. And this is what he says in 1 Samuel 30 verse 6. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him." Oh my goodness, his own people spoke about stoning him. Imagine getting stoned from your own people. "Because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But," this is the thing that I love, "but David strengthened himself in the Lord." There was no person there to give him strength. There was no person there to give him counseling in that sense. But he had to strengthen himself in the Lord. And so many times in our lives as well, we like to rely upon people. We like to rely upon our pastors, our leaders from the church, elders and everyone. But there are times in our life where not everyone's going to be there for us. And I think these are the times where we need to learn to encourage ourselves. Because if we don't learn to encourage ourselves, in the times of difficulties, will we give up? There's two things that can happen to us when we go through storms. One, we can learn from the storm and allow it to make us stronger and stronger and stronger. Another two, we can actually say to God, "God, sack this, I'm done with this, I'm going back." And I've seen lots of people do that. And I pray to God all the time, "God, give me the strength so that I can encourage myself in you." So I have to keep on telling myself, "God, help me to stand firm even when I face lots of temptations, trials in my life." Joseph, the story of Joseph, we see that Joseph, one after another, there was lots of trials, there was lots of temptations in his life, but he had to strengthen himself in the Lord. There was no one to strengthen him. There was no one to tell him, "Joseph, it's going to be alright." No one. His brothers neglected him. The jailer neglected him. Everyone, Potiphar, didn't trust him. And Joseph gave his everything to Potiphar, yet Potiphar didn't trust him. Joseph loved his brothers, but his brothers hated him. Joseph wanted the best and saw the best within people, yet the people forgot about him. The cupbearer actually forgot about Joseph. And Joseph was the one who actually told cupbearer, "Remember me when you get restored to your position." And so many times in our lives as well, we get forgotten about. So many times in our lives, like we feel rejected. So many times in our lives, we feel like nobody cares. But those are the times that we need to really stand up and say to ourselves, "I am going to trust in you, Lord. I've got no strength left in me, but I'm going to trust in you. My friends don't trust me. My family, no one can help me, God, but you can." Joseph was in this situation where he had no one. Let's put ourselves in his position. He had no one. Locked up in his prison cell. Two things he could have done. Said to God, "God, I hate you. I trusted you all my life. I served you all my life. But yet here I am in this prison." And this other thing where he could have done, he could have actually conformed to the lies and gave into the lies and actually be part of the lie. But he didn't. What did he do? He stood up for the truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. Amen. The word of God tells us to actually be a man or woman of integrity. To actually stand up and speak the truth and actually confess the truth. The story of Bleeding Woman, she's been bleeding for about 12 years. And she hears about Jesus actually coming through this village. And what does she do? She goes after Jesus. She touches the hem of Jesus. Jesus turns around. Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And his disciples are like, "Really, Jesus? There's thousands of people here. And you're asking me who's touched you? There's loads of people." I mean, like, there's loads of people. But yet, Jesus says, no, "I felt power going out of me. Someone touched me." Then this lady, who's just been healed, she approaches Jesus and she's trembling. "Jesus, it was me." And the scripture says, and the scripture is very clear, it says, then she told Jesus the truth. No. It says, then she told Jesus the whole truth. Not just the truth, the whole truth. And I think so many times we live a life of lies where we have mastered the whole art of fakery. where we've actually forgotten who we really are. And I believe that God wants us to come back to a place where we wholeheartedly rely on Him and trust Him again. Joseph, God was with him. Even though there must have been times where he felt like, God, do you care? Are you even here? God was always there. And Joseph, he had to encourage himself in the Lord. Nobody was there to counsel him. Nobody was there to give him comfort. And even in our lives as well, so many times when bad things happen to us, what do? We blame others. Oh, you should have been there for me. You were never there. That's why I didn't come to church. Oh, you should have been there for me. You were never there. That's why I gave up my faith. No. This is about you and God. This is about me and God. This is our personal relationship with God. And first and foremost, the very thing that's going to keep us in this track with God is actually to rely on God. To trust in Him alone. Him alone. Trust in Him alone. Not our strength, but actually Him alone. It says in Scripture, David strengthened himself in the Lord. Not in himself, but in the Lord. Amen. Learn the art of self-encouragement. My final point. Stay connected to God. Stay connected to God. So simple, yet so profound. Stay connected to God. Not just Sunday connection. This is about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday connection. This is about weeks connection. This is about months connection. This is about years connection. God wants to recharge us. And so many times we feel tired. So many times we feel weary. Why? Because we don't allow God to speak to us. Because we don't allow God to charge us. And God wants to speak to us. God wants to recharge our batteries. And it says in Mark 3:14, Jesus is actually choosing His disciples. Mark 3:14, Markus 10:14. Jesus is choosing His disciples. And there's two things why Jesus chooses His disciples. It says in the Scriptures, Jesus chose them so that He could be with them. And then He could send them to preach the gospel. Two things. So the main thing was so that Jesus could actually sit down with them and disciple them and do life with them, do journey with them. And second of all, so that He could actually use them. And so many times we go to God in a sense where we see that as something that which we have to do. No, we go to God because we want to go to God, not because we have to go to God. We worship God because we want to worship God, because we understand the changes that He's brought about in our lives. That's where we want to worship Him. Not because He's God. He's God, yes, that's where we worship Him. But we don't worship Him because we're obliged to worship Him. We worship Him because He is our Creator. We worship Him because He is our Savior. We worship Him because He is the one that gives us life. We worship Him because He is God. And God is God. And God wants to bring us back to that place where we thirsty for Him. Where we yearn for Him. Where we want Him again. It says in the Scripture, remember your first love. And so many times as we continue our journey, we sort of get weary of this relationship. And we become unfaithful to God. And yet God is always faithful to us. And in this relationship, we flirt with all different stuff. We flirt with the world, yet we're in relationship with God. But God wants us to be in full, complete relationship with Him. And God is actually knocking on our hearts saying, come on, are you going to let me in? We're worshiping, we're lifting up our heart, yet God is knocking. We're lifting up our hands, yet God is knocking on our hearts saying, come on, I see your hands raised up. Let me come into your heart now. Because this isn't about actually performance. This isn't about actually showing people how holy we are. This isn't actually showing people how perfect we are. But this is actually showing people we are weak. This is actually showing people we are broken. But yet we trust in the one who is not. And His name is Jesus. And this is about actually saying to people, listen, we are weak. But yet we trust in the one who is stronger than us. Who is greater than anything. And His name is Jesus. And it's actually about that. And God is longing for His people. God is longing for His people. And it's up to you and me now to come back to that position where we realign ourselves and refocus ourselves and actually continue with the journey. Because God wants the best for us. Because God wants to bring about best within us. We look at ourselves and we see lots of imperfections. And when God sees us, He sees the perfection within us. And God wants to draw about greatness within our lives so that we continue to treat others well, so that we continue to actually build the whole art of self-encouragement, so that we continue to actually stand firm and stay connected to Him. Because hear me correctly when I say this, there are things that I can do without God, and hear me correctly when I say this, preaching is one of them. Because I can preach from my intellect, because what good is it if I can preach the best sermon but yet not know the one whom I'm speaking on behalf of? What good is it for me to actually know all the worship songs yet not know the one who I'm worshipping to? What good is it for me to actually go to the house of someone but yet not know the owner of the house, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? And the church is His house, and God is calling us back. God is actually wanting us to actually be in that position where we remember His love for us again. Because along the journey, the disappointment creeps in, the rejection creeps in, and in some ways it kind of like shakes us, and in a way it kind of like places us in a different path. So I want to encourage everyone to actually realign ourselves in this journey where we wholeheartedly trust God. Amen. Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.